Sing to us in his word. Should we pray? Father, I pray that you would open the eyes of our hearts that we might see wonderful things in your law and your word to us this morning. Be present by your spirit that we might hear your voice. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I wonder, what makes a great leader? When you think of a great leader, what is it? What qualities immediately come to mind? That doesn't have to be a good leader. I suppose it could be a great leader in the sense of does big things. Because what came to my mind was Putin. I certainly don't think he's a great leader. Is he a good leader? But, you know, he comes out, doesn't he, looking strong. You know, he likes to wear tight t-shirts with his muscles out in the pictures, doesn't he? He wants to look like a strong leader. Well, maybe Putin comes to mind, or some other strong leader. Maybe you think of the royal family. They're great leaders, aren't they, in our nation? The royal family lead this nation. And when we think of them, what do we think of? We think of being put together, don't we? They always, always look perfect. You know, has Princess Kate ever had a hair out of place? I don't think so. They would Photoshop it if they did anyway, wouldn't they? But no, great leaders, maybe we think of them as strong, maybe we think of them as put together. But I wonder, whoever we think of as a great, strong leader, do we think they're approachable? Would we actually go up to them? You know, would you go up to these people? If you saw King Charles in Smiths, would you go and say hello? I mean, you might just think, what are you doing in Smiths? But would you say hello to him? I don't know, probably not. You might just be a bit sort of like caught for words. Can you actually approach him? Such a big, powerful man. Well, the message of Palm Sunday is that Jesus is a king who is humble. He's a king who is gentle. He's a king who is kind. And this king is one who really is approachable. He really is somebody you can come to. He is a king you can have as your king, no matter how great of a leader he is. And he is the greatest leader. He's one you can come to. He's one you can approach and have as yours. So I want us to see in the Bible where we see these things about Jesus. The first thing in verses 2 to 5, we see that Jesus is God's promised king. He is the king that God has said he would come. One day there's going to be a great king, and this king is Jesus. See, at this point of the story, Jesus has been travelling towards Jerusalem. It's quite a long journey from Galilee all the way down south to Jerusalem. And when we meet him at the beginning of this story, he's at a place called Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, just outside Jerusalem. He's nearly there, and we're here, don't we? That famous bit where Jesus tells his disciples, go into the village and get these two donkeys. It's so familiar, isn't it? It's so familiar to us. But let's just think about that for a moment, because it's a really surprising thing that Jesus says here. Imagine that you decided, right, you're going to go and walk into Brighton. That'd be quite a big walk, I think, wouldn't it? Probably even further to Jerusalem, but you're going to walk to Brighton, okay? You're there with a friend, you stroll over. Just as you get to the marina, your friend says, oh, just head into the marina, there's Ford Fiesta there. Just go and get that Fiesta for me, and we'll just whip into the town centre in it. If anyone asks, you just say, my mate needs it. Okay. That's not something that happens every day, is it? But that is what Jesus says. Guys, go into the village, and when somebody says, what do you need with the donkeys? Just say the master needs it. That's a pretty surprising turn of events, isn't it? And it's not just that this is a cool miracle, a cool thing to have happened, or a surprising thing to have happened. The important thing about this is that God said it would happen. Notice in verse 4, he says, Matthew tells us, this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet. This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet. The prophet who said this was a prophet called Zechariah, hundreds of years before. Zechariah chapter 9, if you want to have a look it up later. You see, Zechariah had said, there's going to be a king coming. God's going to send his king. And when he comes, he's going to come in riding on a donkey. And 600 years or so later, in comes Jesus riding on a donkey. So this surprising, strange turn of events happened for a reason, to tell us that it's God sending him. It is God the Father sending Jesus. And again, just think about this for a moment, because this means that God knows what's going to come to pass. God sent his king for us. We have elections coming up, don't we? I don't know exactly where they are. I'm not about to move into politics. Don't worry, never you fear. You might be into politics, you might not be. But we hear all sorts of different things, don't we, in politics. You might hear or read, oh, such and such a party is definitely going to win. And then, you know, the next day someone else says, no, that's not the case. Someone else is going to win. Someone else says, no, it's another option. Whatever. We can have all sorts of opinions. We hear all sorts of views, don't we? The reality is, we just have no idea what's going to happen. We can make good guesses, sure, but we don't know exactly what's going to happen, do we, in any elections that are coming up. And that's just in the coming year. You know, what about elections in 5 years' time? What's the political landscape in England going to look like in 10 years' time? 20, 50, 100? What about 600 years' time? Who's going to be the ruling party then? That is just absolutely impossible to say, isn't it? But God has said, I'm going to tell you who's going to be king. There's going to be a king in 600 years' time. He's going to come in on a donkey. He's going to be my king, my Messiah. And this is precisely what Jesus is doing, what he's fulfilling. God knew that Jesus was going to come, and he is the king. And the question immediately for us with this is, do we acknowledge Jesus as the king? Because actually, he's the king that God has set up. We don't make him king by accepting him as king. He is king. He is the ruler. Whether we want to acknowledge him as king or not, he still is. So well, do we accept him? Do we acknowledge him as the king of the universe? You may remember some people wore t-shirts. Maybe you're one of these people. I'm not saying anything against it. But those t-shirts where people wore, he's not my king. Do you remember when Charles was crowned? Did you see those t-shirts? He's not my king. I mean, really, there were just people that didn't want a king anymore. That's fine, you could not want a king anymore. But the t-shirt didn't make it true, did it? He still was your king, whether you like it or not. Charles was king, and it's the same with Jesus. He is the king. One day, everyone will acknowledge him as the king. Do you accept him as the king today? Well, that's the first thing, is that we come to Jesus because he is the king. He is the king God has sent. The second thing is that he's a gentle king. He's a kind king. And we see this in the donkey. This is the second famous bit about Palm Sunday, isn't it? Palm Sunday, we think donkey. It's a wonderful thing about this time of year, thinking about the donkey. But what is this donkey about? It's kind of an interesting question, isn't it? Probably so familiar, again, that we don't necessarily even think about it. Why is there a donkey in this story? You know, we might just think it's because it's quite an embarrassing animal compared to a massive horse or something like this. But you know what? There's more to it than that. There's more to it than that, because the donkey actually represents a king who is coming in peace, a king who is peaceful. It's not actually an embarrassing animal to ride in Israel. King David rode a donkey. King David was, you know, the great king. The donkey shows Jesus has come in peace. If he hadn't come in peace, he would have had lots of options. His main option probably would have been a chariot. You know, he could have come into Jerusalem on a chariot, couldn't he? Massive wheels, great chariot horses, here he comes like a Roman emperor. But if he did that, he would be coming for war, he'd be coming for battle. But he doesn't do that. He's coming in peace. This says a lot about our king, that he's a gentle king. He's a humble king. And he's indicating this by riding on a donkey. We indicate all sorts of things, don't we, by the clothes that we wear. I stand in front of you wearing this strange thing called a dog collar. And, you know, you can guess some pretty accurate stuff about me, can't you? I am ordained, that's true. Otherwise, I'm just fancy dress or something like this. Your clothes indicate things, don't you? If you saw someone walking down the street and they were wearing a nice cocktail dress, you would think they probably weren't just going to the shops. I mean, they might be, but probably not. You know, if you see someone wearing joggers, they're probably not heading to a job interview. You know, the things we wear indicate who we are, don't we? If we see someone in a police officer's uniform, they're either going to a party or they're a policeman. Our clothes indicate something, don't they? About who we are, how we present ourselves. And Jesus presents himself in this way that says, I'm riding on a donkey. I'm a humble king. I'm a gentle king. And for us, this is a massive thing. Because it means that Jesus is a kind, approachable ruler. Now, he is a king that we can worship, but we can also come to. And it may be that there are some here this morning who think, yeah, I can see that Jesus is king, I kind of acknowledge that, but actually, if he's a king, who am I to come to a king? You know, I wouldn't invite King Charles to my house, it'd be really embarrassing. You know, I'm not ready for that. So who would I be to invite the king of the universe into my house? Who would I be to be friends with the Son of God after all the things that I've done, after all that stuff in my past? Maybe you think that this morning, that deep down there's this sense that I can kind of treat God from afar, treat Jesus from afar, but can I come to him? The answer is yes. Because he's a gentle king. Remember the donkey that he is, that gentle, humble, approachable king, the ruler of the universe, yes, but one that you can come to as well. Maybe you need to hear that this morning. You can come to him. The final thing that we see is where they wave the palm branches, that we can come to Jesus. Not just because he is the king over everything, not just because he is a kind, gentle king, but also because he's the king who is powerful. He is mighty. Jesus is mighty to save. And we see this really in the last section, in all the things that people say to Jesus. Hosanna, all this sort of thing. Because Hosanna means save. You may not know that you knew some Hebrew, but you do. Hosanna, it means save. There you go. You knew more than you thought. You know some Hebrew. Hosanna, save. And the reason we can shout that to Jesus, the reason they shouted that to Jesus, is because he can save. Now we might think, okay, power and humility. You know, do we really get those two things together? We tend to think maybe of those two things as opposites, don't we? Someone either is Arnold Schwarzenegger strong, or they're really nice and cuddly. But you know, do we get both? The answer is in Jesus, we do see one who is mighty and powerful and humble and kind. It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. He's kind and able. And so they get these palm branches, don't they? They wave them in front of Jesus. They take off their cloaks. They throw it on the donkey. They put it on the streets. They let Jesus come through. And they shout, Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. This is Jesus, the one mighty to save. You see, the people knew they needed saving. Immediately they knew because they were suffering under Roman rule. They were oppressed by a foreign political power. But there was more than that. It's more than just political oppression they needed saving from. They needed saving from themselves. And in this sense, people haven't changed, have they? We're really in the same boat. We need saving from our sin, don't we? Is Jesus just kind? Is he just sympathetic? Or is he able to do something about it? He's able, he's mighty, so we can shout to him, save, because he is the one God sent to save. When my first child was born, 10 years ago now, it's crazy, isn't it? Well, it is to me. When my first child was born, on the second day I had to drive to the hospital to get her tongue tie cut. I don't know if anyone's had experience with this. Anyway, we drove her to the hospital. I drove her to the hospital. We tried to time the feeds. I was like, right, I can get Fulton back. We lived in Eastbourne at the time. We had to drive over to Hastings. So I drove over to Hastings. Got it. It was all really, really smooth. I felt like such a legend. I was like, yeah, super dad, driving the car. I've nailed this. 2 days, done. Sorted. Drove back, nearly got into Eastbourne, was just driving at a nice pace around the corner, and hit a pothole. And my tyre just went... I was like, oh, this is really, really bad. This is really, really bad. Okay, got out of the car, and it wasn't just like a flat tyre. The whole thing had bent. The whole wheel rim had bent. Now, I'm not the manliest of men. This was a problem. This was a real problem for me because I knew obviously this wheel needs changing. I didn't even know where the spare wheel was. So I tried to think back. Okay, who could I ring? Okay, so I had one friend who was proper manly man. Okay, I'm just going to have to ring him. Okay, didn't pick up his phone. So, but you know, sometimes you just need someone to ring and be sympathetic. So I rang my wife. I was like, oh no, I've got to do something with a tyre. I mean, there's nothing she could do about it. She's less manly than me. you know, what on earth am I going to do, love? Okay, and then I realised I'm just going to have to do something about it. Eventually, I did succeed in changing the wheel. I know, I am actually more manly than I think. But I changed the wheel. The thing is, when I rung up my wife, I really didn't need to get through to her. I really needed to get through to somebody that could actually help me. Right? It was nice to have somebody on the phone to be sympathetic with me. But I needed actual help. Right? I needed someone who could do something. And here's the thing. When we pray to Jesus, when we come to him, we're not just saying to him, Lord, I just need somebody to listen. I just need a listening ear. I need someone to be sympathetic. He does that. He's there for us for that. But he's not just that. He's actually one who is able to help us in our time of need. He's actually able to save. He's not just a sympathetic God. He's the powerful God to help us in life's actual situations. More than a sympathetic ear. And the question that leaves with us this morning is, do we cast our cares on Jesus? Do you cast your anxieties on him? Not just in the sense that I need to get this off my chest and I'm going to say it to you, Lord. But actually as one who is actually able to help us. Who's actually able to take our sin, who's able to forgive us. Who's actually for us. He's for you in your life. He wants what's best for you. And do you take advantage of that? Do you cast your anxieties on him, saying, actually, Jesus, you're not just the king that cares, you're the king that's able. Because we can. This is who our king is. This is who the Palm Sunday king is, God's Messiah. So let's this morning remember these things, that we should acknowledge him as king, that we should approach him as the gentle, kind king, knowing that he is able to save, he is able to help us in our time of need. Should we come and pray to him now? Jesus, we thank you for who you are. We thank you that you are the Messiah, that you are God's King. Thank you that you rule and you reign. But we thank you more than that, that you are gentle, that you are approachable, that we may come to you. Pray that we wouldn't forget that, Lord, that we wouldn't try going elsewhere, but that we would come to you, to your throne of grace, where we're able to receive help in time of need because you're loving and kind and powerful and able, that you are mighty to save each one of us, that you care for us, that you are for us. So we cast our anxieties on you this morning, Lord Jesus. Casting our cares on you, knowing that you are the one who's willing and able to take them to the cross. Able to grant us forgiveness, that we might stand in peaceful relationship with God. So Lord Jesus, we thank you for coming for us. Amen.
Amen.